Ryan's not going to like this at all. I don't know if I like this anymore.
This podcast is not suitable for children or those who are easily disturbed.
I've never cornholed a blind woman before.
Spoiler warning for whatever is in the title of this episode.
And I strangle animals.
And now for the obligatory socials. Please like, share, and subscribe. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher, and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to the horrorofbabylonpodcast@gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that The Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, and all other major podcast apps.
Welcome to a very toxic bonus episode of The Horror of Babylon, where we discuss the Toxic Avenger. I am Ryan, and with me as always is Daniel. Say hi, Daniel. Frankenstein's monster in the house. Oh, wait. The Toxic Avenger. Thank you to our patrons, Abigail the First, Breaker of Chains, Mother of Dragons, and
Logan. The Full Metal Patron.
And thank you to Four Horsemen Comics and Gaming for... This is a Four Horsemen sponsored episode. This was chosen by Ronald III, Grampus of Christmas. And you can visit the stores at the Morgantown Mall in Morgantown, West Virginia, or the Mall at Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Trigger warning, murder, outright murder of children and animals. Which to some people is equally or more upsetting.
Yeah.
Also, murder of both innocent people and not innocent people.
Yeah.
And rape.
Yep.
And just also, if you're triggered by dirty things,
like this film is very filthy looking.
It's very, very grimy. Dirty. Yeah. I never seen of this nor heard of this until Ron brought it up, but you have seen it.
Yep.
What? Tell us about your history with The Toxic Avenger.
I saw it on the shelf of a Blockbuster some 20-odd years ago, or however many years ago, when we still had Blockbusters. And I pulled it off the shelf and went, I want to watch this. And then I went and I watched it.
Apparently there is a Netflix show about Blockbuster employees, and it's called Blockbuster.
Huh.
I just saw that it was canceled, and I was like, huh, that sounds like something I'd actually be interested in checking out.
Yeah.
Because... in high school, we spent a lot of time just hanging out at the video, like, generally yeah. Loitering at the video store.
Me too.
The vampires are pure myth, superstition.
I may be able to bring you proof that the superstition of yesterday can become the scientific reality of today.
Background, this film was directed by Michael Hertz and Lloyd Kaufman. If you check out Lloyd Kaufman's IMDb page, he has directed 58 films.
Yep.
I have heard of none of them. Grant, there's a lot of B movies and short films.
He's a very prolific B filmmaker.
But yeah, he had been in a lot. And his name is actually how we ended up doing this, because I was looking at movies and I was looking at this film series called Daisy Durkins, who's like the, I think the one I was showing you and Ron was Daisy Durkins and the Dinosaur Apocalypse.
That sounds so cool.
And Lloyd Kaufman is a producer on that, and Ron saw that and he's like, oh, I love Lloyd Kaufman, you guys should do The Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what that is, but okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't question you. You're the one with the money. So that's what we're doing. And the screenplay was written by Joe Ritter. This film had a budget of $500,000 and had a box office of $800,000, which isn't great, but considering what it is, like, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These sorts of movies typically make their money through either merchandising or like video rental stores.
Yeah, DVD sales, just depending on what era you're talking about. Although this...
Trauma is very big on that.
And this didn't do well in its initial theatrical run, but it became like a midnight movie in Greenwich Village, and that's where it kind of blew up and became popular. And since then, it spawned its own franchise with three film sequels, a Saturday morning cartoon show called Toxic Crusaders, a Sega Genesis video game based on said cartoon. It has its own stage musical, and this year they are supposed to release a reboot starring Elijah Wood, Kevin Bacon, and Peter Dinklage.
That's a fantastic cast. Ryan, when you saw this movie, what is your first thought? Saturday morning cartoon.
No, but I think it fits.
Yeah. It's very much to me like how they did a Saturday morning cartoon of The Mask.
Yeah,
even or, though it's like source material is like hyper violent.
Ace Ventura,
yeah,
and Dumb and Dumber both had cartoon.
I forgot Dumb and Dumber did.
Yeah.
Alrighty then.
I haven't watched those since high school. I'm afraid to rewatch them. I love them in high school, and I love them in elementary school.
I still love them, even if people think they're problematic.
Yeah,
things are made in certain eras.
Yeah, there are definitely movies I like that are problematic. I'm looking at you, The Last Samurai.
I'm looking at you, Lolita.
Yeah.
And that's that. Another story in the classic infallible three-act structure. Good enough for Aristotle, good enough for The Simpsons.
Mr. Sizlak, I have a feeling there's going to be one more act to this story.
Well, I'm not hanging around for that. Four acts.
Okay, so jumping into structure and themes, this movie is a dark comedy parody of the superhero genre. But this movie was made in 1984, and that was really, obviously, like, superhero movies, or more particularly superhero TV shows, existed back then. But today, in 2023, superhero movies are, without a doubt, the biggest movie genre out there.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where, like, you know, there's this whole cultural thing, like, half the population is, like, totally exhausted with it, and the other half of the population is just living for the next movie.
They call it cape shit now.
I kind of think now is the perfect time for this movie to be rebooted.
Yeah.
To be, like, that superhero parody that we kind of need. Maybe not the hero we want, but the hero we deserve.
I honestly think there's also too many parodies or satires out there. Like, you got The Boys, you have Invincible.
I haven't seen either of those.
They're both fantastic. They're basically this.
Oh, well, maybe I would feel differently if I had read or watched either of those.
I wouldn't recommend reading The Boys, but I would recommend watching it.
I won't watch it until I read the comics.
They're very different.
Yeah.
It's like the same basic premise, but I think that the TV show actually does it better.
In terms of, like, structure of the film, there's not a lot of structure to it.
It's hyper-chaotic. It's bordering schizophrenic.
To the point where I feel like the editors made mistakes, where there are just things that feel like they're almost out of sequence, and things, like, there's snippets of scenes that aren't explained. There's one point, it's during the montage, where he's becoming the hero. I mean, he becomes the hero monster and he's doing all these good things. And there's this scene in that montage where he's like handing a baby to this old woman. But that's all it is. It doesn't like show him rescuing the baby. It doesn't show him like, you know, like catching the stroller as it's rolling down the street.
Yeah.
It's just him holding a baby. And I feel like they accidentally left out 30 seconds that would explain what that was.
I hate that I'm going to be bringing this up a lot. There's a scene in the Flash movie where he puts a baby in a microwave.
Why?
Well, because it's Ezra Miller. No, it's because he moves so fast that if they aren't protected by something, him just touching people hurts them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it's an out-of-context clip of Ezra Miller
putting a baby in
a microwave.
Yeah.
And so now people are making fun of it, and I'm like, of course they are. Mm-hmm. This is why you should have fired him and just said, hey, we fired him, but please watch the movie anyway, because there's other people who contributed to the movie.
Jeremy Irons, Michael Keaton.
Yeah, but...
Whoever plays Kara.
But, like, out-of-context clips.
Yeah, so that does hang back.
Involving babies.
He's going to do it for real now. He's going to feed into the memes. That's what's going to finally send him to jail.
I don't think he can go to jail. I think he has something on everybody. And he's just immune somehow. Or they.
I was waiting for you to...
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
So let's go to characters. Characters is a strong word for this movie. I feel like words like characters, story, plot, themes, like, they're all very... They're harsh for this movie.
I was gonna say loosely adapted, but instead it's uselessly adapted.
Uselessly adapted the idea of characters.
I think that this is the sort of movie where you have to just live for the chaos to enjoy it. And when I was like not quite a teenager or just becoming a teenager, that's the perfect time to have watched this movie.
Yes. I did not like this movie.
Yeah.
However, I felt like under one of two other circumstances I would have. One being had I seen it in middle school or high school.
Mm-hmm.
And the other if I had like seen it like at a party with a bunch of people and having beers.
This is another example of we should have watched this together and gotten drunk while we did it.
Yeah, because just me watching this by myself, it was just like, what? I'm not going to shit on it because I understand what it is and what it's for in the audience. I'm just 34-year-old me is not in that audience.
It's an exploitation superhero spoof.
Yeah. Okay, so our hero is Melvin Ferd Junko III, played by Mark Torgel, and then he becomes the Toxic Avenger, played by Mitch Cohen. What do you think of Melvin?
I think that you could not adapt Melvin today as he was in this movie.
Everything I just said aside, I may still not have liked this movie, even if we had watched it with beers, for a very specific reason, and that's Melvin. I was very triggered at the beginning of this movie by watching him being bullied by all these people while he's doing his mop job, because all I did was picture an adult version of my son having a job like that and getting bullied by people, and it kind of ruined the movie for me.
Yeah, I figured that would be rough.
Yeah.
I forgot how intense it was until this rewatch.
Yeah.
I remember shit like the hyper-violence and the Toxic Avenger and the weird sex scene with the Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
I don't remember the casual use of slurs.
Yeah.
And then I was sitting there going, oh, Ryan's not going to like this at all. I don't know if I like this anymore. That was my experience with this movie. It got better for me as it went, but I was like, this is not a great start.
No, I think the second half is the better half.
Yeah.
It kind of piled on for me. Like, it starts with this thing that reminds me of a possible future for my own son that is way too real and I don't like it all. And then they murder a child riding a bike. And I'm all for the splatter fest and the gory, and I'm cool with that. I really prefer when it happens to adults.
What did you think of the dog getting shot?
That also wasn't great.
Yeah, I forgot that happened.
They, you know, blow apart a blind woman's seeing eye dog with a shotgun and then rape her.
And then show the dog's corpse.
Yeah, show the dog's corpse and then literally bend her over a table and rape her in front of everybody in a restaurant.
I've never cornholed a blind woman before.
Yeah, I'm really, really curious to see how this reboot is going to work, because surely it can't be anything like that.
I think that if I had to make a prediction, they're going to play up the hyper violence,
which I'm cool with,
and they'll probably play down or subdue, if not outright omitting everything else,
which will be fine. I guess they could include the silly sexualism if they wanted.
I think we'll get maybe some titties.
It's really, really hard to imagine Elijah Wood and Peter Dinklage and Kevin Bacon in a movie like this. But maybe they're like people who like grew up watching Lloyd Kaufman's movies.
Yeah.
And they're big fans of it. Like, I don't know.
This is another example. I mean, it's just the era it was made is super clear while you're watching it.
Yeah. I definitely would have been really into this in high school.
Yeah.
And I still like the violence is fine. My favorite scene was probably where they killed the guy on the bench press. Even though that plaster head didn't look very good, I still thought it was great.
I love a lot of the gore in this movie. I love the corn-holing black dude who gets his arm ripped off but doesn't realize it at first.
Yeah, that was funny.
A bunch of the kills I find super entertaining in this movie.
It also, it had what I thought was going to be like the worst movie death of all time, and then just went silly. I legitimately was ready to throw up when I thought he was going to drown that guy in milk. He was just straight pouring milk into his throat. But then he ended up like making a milkshake in his mouth.
Made a little milkshake.
Which isn't as bad. I'd rather have that happen than you try to drown me in milk.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Another aspect of this movie that I don't think could be done today is Sarah, who is the blind girl, played by Andrea Miranda. This is her only credit on IMDb.
I think you could do it, but you'd have to do it in a different way that I don't know if it will have the same appeal.
It struck me as them like trying to like, she felt like she was supposed to be out of like a Mel Brooks movie.
Yeah.
Like the scene where she walks into her house and then falls straight over and she goes, "Let me grab my cane," and she has like dozens of canes up on the wall and whacks them and they all fall off. Like,
I think what you'll get is this is my personal prediction, is you're going to get a blind daredevil-esque girl boss, and that's how they're gonna play her.
Yeah, which is okay, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking Daredevil, like, at just the difference between how blind people are depicted. It's like two extremes.
Yeah.
Like, neither of them realistic.
I would honestly like a realistic blind person, because, let's be honest, it is it's a handicap. It's gonna hinder you in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you don't have other strengths.
Yeah. You're still a person.
One of my favorite characters of all time is the blind girl from Avatar The Last Airbender, so.
Toph.
Toph, yeah.
Toph, I know.
I do not understand.
I do. I understood that reference.
I always said that if I had a blind daughter, I would name her Toph.
I think there's a large cast in this movie. There's lots of characters. Those are the two that are closest to being actual characters, but obviously there are many others. Who are some standouts for you from the rest of the cast?
I remember zero of their names.
You don't. I will take a vague description.
The dude who really wants to run people over, I thought was kind of funny.
The one with the headband or the one without the headband?
Without the headband.
Okay.
Like, he's like, "Where is she? I want the car. I need to drive."
Yeah.
Because he's like, he's obsessed with just running people over for points.
The other guy looks a lot like Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
So we'll call him Kelso. Burn! So it was recently that we were discussing in Pet Sematary 2 in The Boogeyman over-the-top bullies. And we thought that those were over-the-top bullies. But this is, I don't think you could ever do a bully more over-the-top than the four bullies in this movie.
I agree to that. I think the major difference is some of those other over-the-top bullies try to sell it as somewhat in a realistic setting.
And this is
obvious schlock from beginning to end.
Yeah. So, schlock is a good word for it.
So I'm more forgiving of over-the-top in movies like this.
The most over-the-top thing that I just couldn't swallow was the girl masturbating to the pictures of the runover child. Like, I have read about some messed up kinks online.
Yeah.
And I know, like, there are people who are into, like, dead people as a thing.
Yeah.
But literally, like, a mutilated body, like, fingering yourself in a sauna, like,
excuse me, I have to go and vomit.
What kind of mind even comes up with that?
I like that they made these super obviously horrible people and then still played the Toxic Avenger like a slasher half the time.
Yeah, like, you're not even sure that he's the good guy when, like, he's chasing these, like, beautiful girls and about to murder them. And you're like, oh, no, girl, wait. No, wait, the girl's the bad guy.
And, like, by that point, you should know that. But just, I think it's the music and the way they frame the scenes.
Yeah, it's like, run, it's a monster. Oh, wait, the monster's the good guy. But is he really? Because he's still murdering people. But he can't go to the authorities because the authorities are corrupt. But
the literal Nazis.
I did think it was funny that the chief of police kept accidentally calling the mayor like Führer and doing like the Nazi salute, the heel click.
Yeah,
that was amusing. The mayor was totally gross. I thought it was amusing that the first time you see him is in the health club with him getting a massage when he's like basically naked. At that point, you don't even know he's the mayor. And then you see him again later in the movie. And then later you see him getting a massage again and you go, oh, that fat guy was the mayor. Gross. It's just like,
there's a bunch of shit like that in this movie.
Yeah. And like, I think there's a scene where he's getting this massage and he's eating a sandwich while he's getting a massage. And I love sandwiches. I'm not a big fan of massages, but I could be persuaded. But I just, and maybe I'm being unfair. Maybe there's a whole class of people out there who are okay with this, but I cannot imagine lying down and getting a massage from anybody and eating a sandwich. It's just like,
I would try it. But I feel like I'd be distracted.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It sounds kind of like,
I feel like a good snack after a massage sounds
great. Yeah, after a massage sounds great. But it's like, would you eat while you have sex? Or would you eat while you take a shit? Like, I don't know. Like,
I've tried to do it while shitting just to see. And I can't. Mm-hmm. It's
like, yeah, no. I've had, like, food in my mouth chewing and went into the bathroom. And it didn't, I wasn't into it.
I've eaten while having sex, but it's, like, off of a person, so.
Yeah, that's, I think that's different.
Yeah. You're kind of in the moment when it comes to that.
I don't know. The
but
mayor
having,
was
like
just
an actual, like putting a plate of spaghetti on her. I don't think I could.
No, I think you're doing like chocolate syrup or something like that.
Something sticky.
Something. You're not like putting graham crackers and making s'mores on off of her ass or his ass, or their
That's
ass.
That's the one place you don't want to put chocolate syrup because you might get confused.
Yep.
I didn't think we put chocolate syrup down here. We didn't!
Oh, God. Cigar Face. That's a named character that I remember.
Cigar Face?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only one I could think of. Did Melvin and the Toxic Avenger feel like the same person to you?
Not at all.
No, they didn't to me.
The mutation changed him in more ways than one.
I mean, like, completely changed his personality. Like, I honestly, and I'm not going to be the person who's sitting here and complaining that there's not enough character development in the Toxic Avenger. I'm not, because that's not it's not this kind of movie. That's not what they're trying to do. That's not the kind of story they're trying to tell. But it was a little jarring to go from Melvin to the Toxic Avenger, and I had to remind myself that
they're the same person.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'll kill you all! I'll drive you crazy, and I'll kill you all on every nightmare you ever had. I am your worst dream come true. I'm everything you ever were afraid of.
Scary shit. Splatterfest. Scary, no.
No.
But talk to me about the gore. The splatter, the effects.
I think you could easily be grossed out by this movie.
And I was, to an extent.
How good the effects were ranged pretty wildly.
There were some stuff that looked really bad, and then there were some stuff that looked decent.
And then there was some stuff that looked so bad that it was still entertaining.
Yeah.
The dude getting his head crushed by the workout machine.
It was very obviously a papier-mâché head, but
and then, like, they had the bottom half of the head with, like, the tongue sticking out, wiggling around with all that blood.
I have actually envisioned that happening to myself while working out in a gym.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it was effective, but it worked.
Yeah. The dude who got his hands dipped in, like, the hot oil.
My issue with that scene is that the Toxic Avenger, like, bends those pipes over to, like, keep him in place. And then he stands there and holds him till he dies anyway. I'm like, why'd you take the time to, like, bend those pipes over top of him?
If you're already just going to
stand
him?
There. Yeah.
Because it showed off his super strength.
Okay. I know he's super strong. He's flinging people left and right. But yeah, that was cool. He put the one guy in the oven, and the cops are like,
Yo, what do you got? I got a deep fried taco. What about you? Well, I got a super thick chocolate milkshake. I got this deep dish pizza.
God, I really hope Ron doesn't. We'll definitely cover the remake when it happens, but I really don't want to watch all the sequels.
I've not seen any of the sequels, so they would all be new.
Yeah, well, if what Ron says goes, but...
He's going to be like, I want you to watch Lolita again.
No. I don't think... I honestly think that movie would trigger him as hard as it triggers me. So I don't think that'll happen. Him and kids, it's icky. So, yeah. And he also has a daughter. So yeah. What was your favorite kill and your least favorite kill?
Favorite kill is definitely, like, the gym weights going on the dude's head.
Me too. My least favorite kill was probably the kid on the bike.
The dog.
The dog was also bad.
So we'll just hit both of them.
All right, cool. I think we can kiss, or we can kiss. We can skip. No, I mean, Power Christ.
We could kiss.
No, I mean, maybe when Hef's here. Kiss me, fat boy. I did not expect that I was going to have to be constantly, like, turning the volume down and, like, muting this movie. Because I put this movie on while I was working.
Yeah.
With, you know, like, the kids running around and doing stuff.
Doing kid shit.
And I can't watch this movie in front of my kids.
Yeah. You got the first sex scene at the gym. You have them getting Melvin to kiss a goat head. You have... girl masturbating to dead bodies, and then you have the Toxic Avenger sexing. What is this I'm feeling?
When she's like, oh, let me feel your hand, she grabs his junk, and then she's like, oh, that... sorry. Like, oh my god.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years since I've been with a man. Like, okay. Are you sure that was a man you were with? Did you see him?
Are you sure it wasn't your dog? You are a white woman.
I thought she got over the death of her dog really fast.
Oh, yeah, because the scene was over. She had to move on.
But she literally, like, in one scene, her dog is murdered and she is literally raped in front of a restaurant full of people. And then the next scene, which is minutes later, she's like a bubble-headed idiot that's like, oh, watch your step. Don't trip over them. And she trips over and it's like... out of a Mel Brooks movie.
Yeah, because the scene was over. They had to move on.
I think I would have been upset for a little bit longer.
Yeah, when you go from one scene to the other, you're a completely different person.
And she was. And also, why did she move into his place at the literal dump instead of him moving into her apartment?
That's a good question.
And also, do you think you could eat that many fried eggs without vomiting?
Yes.
I could not.
I am hungry.
I like fried eggs, but that was like 30 fried eggs.
It's a lot of protein.
She kept those eggs in a dog food bowl.
Ah! Oh my god, are you Stephen King?
No, I'm Dean Koontz.
Oh.
Kings and Koontz. I forgot to come up with a king. What's my king? I know my Koontz. I have definite Koontz.
Well, what's your Koontz?
My Koontz is... you've seen Fantasia, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the segment with the demon? The piece of music they play there is like Bald Head Mountain.
Uh-huh.
They play that piece of music approximately 30 times in this movie.
That is a lot of times.
And then they also played it once in Lolita 1997, which just set me off. Which was totally unfair to Lolita.
Now you're gonna have flashbacks every time you hear it.
But they play it constantly throughout the entire movie, and I think it's just because it's in the public domain and free, and they could just... I mean, sure, it's a great piece of music, and it can fit into like one or two scenes, but they played it a lot.
Okay.
Let's go backwards, Teddy. What's your Koontz?
my Koontz is, and I'm not going to take away from anyone who enjoys this movie for what it is, the beginning, I do think a lot of it just has not aged well, and I recognized it as soon as I started watching it. I'm like, oh, okay, that's gonna be rough for a lot of people, and honestly, it was rough even for Daniel, so...
It was super rough for me.
So, and...
I think with a couple beers, I could forgive it.
Yeah.
And have some fun with it, but... Watching it sober and by myself was hard.
Yeah, and that's my Koontz is, and I couldn't blame anyone if it rubbed them the wrong way, because I'm like, yeah, no, I see all of that.
Yep. I guess my King is just, they knew what they wanted to do, and they were very unapologetic about it, and they did it.
Yeah, that's also going to be my King, is this movie is unapologetically schlock. It, like a lot of trauma films are.
It ranks pretty low on my list, but it's not in the same way as like some other movies, like let's say like Near Dark.
Yeah.
Where I watched that and I was just like, oh god, this just totally sucks. Mm-hmm. Like obviously The Toxic Avenger is not a great movie. Mm-hmm. But it's not meant to be a great movie. It's,
yeah.
As opposed to like Near Dark, where they were trying to make like this very intelligent subvert your expectations variation on the vampire tropes and
Valerian.
Valerian's just a whole nother beast.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to ranking. I already did mine. Like I said, it's pretty low. It's number 56 on my list. And again, you can click the link in the show notes to take you straight to our Google Docs to see our rankings.
Mine's also probably going to be pretty low. Honestly, I think I'm going to put it right below Uzumaki.
So that's your new number 49.
Yeah.
Also, we forgot to rank Pet Sematary 2019 on our list. So where would you like to put Pet Sematary 2019? I'll show you where I had it. Not that I'm trying to influence your decision. It was my number 43.
Yeah.
I had it under Valerian because it was not as good a time as Valerian, but... I thought it was a little better than some of the other schlock we've watched.
I think I'm going to put it right below The Toxic Avenger,
honestly. Okay, your new number 50.
Yeah.
All right, works for me.
Yeah, that's close enough.
For homework, who is your pollution-themed superhero persona?
So, I am going to be a power plant, and I am a... nuclear-powered, quote-unquote, green energy advocate, where I go around speaking the praises of nuclear energy and going, I must fight against the corrupt oil companies. And I have a little sidekick who's going to be a wind-powered energy guy, but he's just a little bit of a doofus, and I just kind of tussle his hair all the time.
Wind energy.
You.
I am plastic soda pop ring guy, and I strangle animals. I have a costume that's just decorated in soda pop rings, and I run out into the woods, and I go to the beach, and I just find little animals, and I just strangle them.
Have you ever seen the videos of people pulling plastic straws out of sea turtles' noses?
No.
It is the hardest. I've seen people being literally beheaded, and that is harder to watch.
We bought reusable straws, and we now use reusable straws in this house. I still use plastic straws when they're given to me at a restaurant, but generally I just drink without a straw. But I also think paper straws suck.
So they do suck.
I think maybe the answer is just stop using straws.
There's got to be a better way.
There's got to be a better way.
We'll invent biodegradable plastic straws.
And be the richest, if they're cost effective.
We will invent ones that disintegrate in seawater. At the same time, they also eat away oil.
Well, if you think about it, like, if you make them, like, if you make salt disintegrate them, because, like, most drinks don't have sodium in them.
Yeah.
I mean, they have, like, a little.
Yeah.
But they don't have a lot.
You got to get, like, the content right.
Not compared to seawater. Seawater is, like...
concentrated.
Yeah. So, God, we need smarter people than us to do...
Yeah, I am not a chemist.
I'm cutting this out. Nobody else can have this idea.
This is our billion-dollar idea until Big Straw comes and kills us for it.
Prize homework. Who is the most toxic Avenger?
Like, personality-wise?
Mm-hmm.
Tony Stark.
I was gonna say Thor with Tony as like a runner.
I still have all these decades later, I still haven't gotten over Civil War.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, I'll say Tony too.
Yeah.
I can't argue that.
Yeah. I know it's not fair because he's had like two decades of like other character growth mm-hmm. and stuff. But that story I read at a pivotal time in my life, and then had all of the comic writers spend an additional decade trying to convince me that he was correct.
Nope, he was not.
And I'm sitting there like, I don't know how you could read this story, especially after Cap died, and then still try to justify it.
So. If you're unsure of which side of an issue you should be on, see which side Steve Rogers is on. And that's probably the right side.
Except that time when they made him go Hell Hydra. That was also a very bad story.
I haven't read it, so I don't know. But I also didn't read it, so yeah. I'm probably not going to read it.
It was a bad story, but the initial idea they were going to try to convey was that he was always actually like that, mm-hmm. and then they backpedaled on it. Because they backpedaled on it, a lot of the story didn't make sense.
Well, yeah, because if you make that the canon, then that like ruins like every other
It was coming out right at that time where like... We can't have an American symbol be a super... Like, I hate to be Mr. Conservative, but it was at that time when they were doing that a lot.
I am one of the least patriotic people you will probably ever meet.
Yeah.
I'm not anti-American, but I am definitely one of those people who, like, rolls their eyes at people who are super patriotic.
Yeah.
I still would suck Steve Rogers' dick.
Yeah. But it was coming out right at that time, and they were doing it with a bunch of, like, patriotic-themed superheroes, and it was, like, one right after the other. And then they did that. It's like when they try to get rid of the American way for Superman's phrasing, and I'm like, I understand why you're doing it, mm-hmm. but I don't think you understand the marketability you're trying to give away here.
Question for the listeners. Have you been to Tromaville? God, I hope not, because it seems like a terrible, terrible place to live. And for further reading, again... Fuck if I know. Do you have any recommendations for further reading?
If you like this, you'll probably like the other Troma films.
Okay. I've not seen any of them, so.
A lot of them are super schlocky B-movies.
Cool.
Straight to VHS horror movies. There's some really good, there's some really bad, there's some really so bad as good, so.
Cool. Upcoming on the Horror Babylon this Sunday, July 2nd, we are covering Mu by Osamu Tezuka. And then the next Sunday, July 9th, we are finally reading Salem's Lot by Stephen King. And then our next two Thursday bonus episodes are going to be Yoko Ono and John Lennon's Fly. And we are going back to Treehouse of Horror on July 13th with Dial Z for Zombies, which is their original zombie-themed Treehouse of Horror.
Awesome.
Yes, which does open... with Bart and Lisa trying to resurrect their dead cat. All right, thank you to our patrons, Abigail the First Breaker, Chains Mother of Dragons, and...
Logan,
the Full Metal patron. And thank you to Four Horsemen Comics and Gaming, which you can visit at the Morgantown Mall in Morgantown, West Virginia, or the Mall Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Say hello to the proprietor, Ronald III, the toxic comic store owner, who did pick this episode, is also... picked our next movie, which is again is Fly by Yoko Ono and John Lennon, which will probably, I wouldn't be surprised if that takes my slot under Lolita for the worst.
I think we will definitely need to have beers for that day.
Oh, we will. We absolutely no. Try limit your carbs before you come in.
Scheduled in.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you for watching the Toxic Avenger and recording with me tonight.
It was a blast.
And stay tuned for our socials and stay scary.
Stay scary, everybody.
And now for the obligatory socials. Please like, share, and subscribe. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher, and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to the Horror of Babylon podcast at gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that the Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, and all other major podcast apps. Stay scary.